Sie wollen endlich durchstarten und planen den nächsten Investitionsschritt? Dann setzen Sie auf den Sachsenkredit Universal der Sächsischen Aufbaubank. Mit einem Tilgungszuschuss von bis zu 10% für KMU, Existenzgründer, Freiberufler, große privatgeführte Unternehmen sowie Ärzte und Apotheker im ländlichen Raum. Für Investitionen bis zu 20 Millionen Euro. Mit erleichtertem Zugang zur Förderung. Alle Infos online unter sab.sachsen.de/sachsenkredit-universal.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Kathleen Dorsett? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Kathleen Dorsett was born on July 2, 1974, and lived in Ocean Township, New Jersey. She was raised with one brother by her parents, Thomas and Leslie Dorsett. In 1997, she obtained her teaching certificate and found work teaching kindergarten and third grade. Kathleen became romantically involved with a man named Stephen Moore. He had been raised just south of Los Angeles and was 6 years older than Kathleen. Stephen was described as not career-oriented. When his mother, Evelyn, decided to retire in New Jersey, Stephen moved with her. Like many people who moved to New Jersey, Stephen may have had a sense that he was never going to leave the state alive. In June 2007, Kathleen and Stephen married and moved into a house in Oakhurst, New Jersey. The house was owned by Kathleen's parents and was right across the street from where they lived. As Kathleen continued to teach, Stephen worked as a salesman at a Honda dealership. In December 2008, the couple had a daughter named Elizabeth. Immediately after this, Kathleen became extremely critical of Stephen and how he was treating their daughter. He was not allowed to build any type of relationship with Elizabeth due to Kathleen's overbearing and dominating demeanor. Stephen became increasingly upset and worried that he would never bond with his daughter. In October 2009, Stephen moved into his mother's residence and filed for divorce. The divorce was finalized in June 2010. Kathleen was able to secure primary custody of Elizabeth. Right after this, Kathleen's parents decided they wanted to move to Florida. This move was supposed to take place in September 2010. Their plan was to take both Kathleen and Elizabeth with them, but this was going to be challenging because of Stephen. The family was not permitted to deny him access to his daughter. To overcome this problem, the Dorsett family offered Stephen financial assistance in exchange for him moving to Florida as well. They would help Stephen for 6 months after he moved, which would allow him to get on his feet. This way, everybody would be happy. The Dorsetts had what they wanted. Stephen would be able to see his daughter, and all of them would be out of New Jersey. Before any move to Florida could take place, an unexpected incident derailed the plans. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On August 16, 2010, 42-year-old Stephen Moore failed to show up at work, so his coworkers at the Honda dealership reported him missing to the police. 2 days later, on August 18, the police received a report of a car fire in Long Beach, New Jersey. The vehicle was a 2001 Nissan Altima owned by Stephen's mother, Evelyn. After the fire was extinguished, Stephen's body was found in the trunk. He had been beaten and strangled before the fire started. Here's what the police found during the course of their investigation. Kathleen said that the last time she saw Stephen was at 7:45 a.m. on August 16, when he dropped off Elizabeth as planned. Two of Kathleen's neighbors told the police they heard screams on the morning Stephen disappeared. One of the neighbors looked out of a window and saw Kathleen running toward the back of the house. She asked what was going on. Kathleen responded by screaming, "Close the window." When the police looked around Kathleen's house, they found blood in the mulch. On August 23, Kathleen was arrested and charged in connection with Stephen's murder. As the arrest was taking place, Thomas emptied his pockets and gave the contents to his wife. as if he expected to be arrested as well. This behavior attracted the attention of the police. Why did Thomas think he was going to be arrested? They didn't have to wait long to find the answer. The owner of a seafood restaurant in Long Branch contacted the police and told them a story about how Thomas had asked to purchase one of these security cameras off the building. Thomas could be seen driving the 2001 Nissan Altima, which belonged to Stephen's mother, into the restaurant parking lot near the dumpster. Kathleen was behind her father in her own vehicle. Less than an hour later, Thomas returned to the parking lot in his work van and threw a few items in the dumpster. On August 24, Thomas was found unconscious in the parking lot of his attorney's office. He had consumed refrigerant, apparently in an effort to cool off permanently. He was taken to a hospital and survived. Thomas was arrested and charged in connection with Stephen's murder. The police also arrested a man who Thomas hired to set fire to the Nissan Altima. When Kathleen was in jail awaiting trial, she talked her mother Leslie into trying to hire a hitman to kill Stephen's mother, Evelyn. Apparently, Kathleen was upset because Evelyn had been granted custody of Elizabeth. The police learned of the plot and sent an undercover officer in as the hitman. During a meeting at a mall, Leslie handed him $1,000 and was arrested a short time later. Both Kathleen and Leslie were charged in connection with this plot. In May of 2013, Kathleen pleaded guilty to murder, attempted murder, and conspiracy. She told the court that she had conspired with her father to murder Stephen. When Stephen dropped off Elizabeth on August 16, 2010, she told him he needed to pick up some tools from the basement. The entrance to the basement was at the rear of the house. When Stephen walked back there, Thomas beat him with a crowbar-like tool and strangled him with a rope. Thomas put Stephen's body in the trunk of the Nissan and eventually paid someone to set the car on fire. Kathleen received a total of 58 years in prison. As if that wasn't bad enough, her teaching certificate had been revoked. She will be eligible for parole in the year 2057 at the age of 83. Kathleen had buyer's remorse as far as her plea bargain and unsuccessfully attempted to withdraw her guilty plea. I guess prison wasn't as pleasant as she imagined, especially without a teaching certificate. Kathleen's father, Thomas, pleaded guilty to murder and conspiracy to commit arson. He received a sentence of 45 years in prison. He could be released as early as 2040, at the age of 94. Kathleen's mother, Leslie, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit murder and received a sentence of just 7 years. She was released in less than 4 years. Now moving to my analysis. The romantic relationship between Stephen and Kathleen seemed to be productive and loving around the time they married. People thought they would be together for a long time and be happy. There was no indication that disaster would strike. They were both eager to start a family. Everything seemed to be going according to plan. After their daughter Elizabeth was born, Kathleen's behavior completely changed. All her energy was focused on her daughter, and any affection in her relationship with her husband vanished. She became aggressive, critical, impatient, and obsessed. When Stephen would try to help care for Elizabeth, he would find himself being screamed at and demeaned by Kathleen. She even put a rule in place stating that Stephen was not allowed to hold his daughter for the first 6 months of her life. He was made to feel dangerous and incompetent. The situation was only made worse by the behavior of Kathleen's parents, Thomas and Leslie, who lived right across the street from the young couple. They owned the house that Kathleen and Stephen lived in and would come by unannounced all the time. Stephen could not get away from them. They would not respect the boundaries that Stephen tried to put in place. Believing it was the only way to spend more time with his daughter, Stephen separated from Kathleen. His strategy did not work as planned. During his scheduled visitation with Elizabeth, Kathleen would call him on the phone multiple times to harass him. She would obsess about every detail of the care he was providing and leave him long lists of things that he needed to do when Elizabeth was with him. Even separated from Kathleen, Stephen did not find any peace. In an effort to showcase the mistreatment that Kathleen was delivering, Stephen saved some of her hostile voice messages. In one message, Kathleen said, quote, "And I don't give a blank what you think. You're right. My way or the highway, blank hole," unquote. The arrangement with financially assisting Stephen so they could all move to Florida was nothing more than a ruse. Kathleen and Thomas wanted to keep Stephen content so he would not take precautions as they plotted to murder him. Stephen did not have any way to prevent his death. No one would have thought that Kathleen and Thomas would take things that far. Even after being arrested for the murder that she participated in, Kathleen was not done wreaking havoc and destroying people's lives. She recruited her mother to hire a hitman to kill Evelyn, even though that would not help Kathleen's criminal case whatsoever. It would only make things much worse for her. Kathleen was not trying to get out of prison with this move. She was simply trying to stop Stephen's mother from raising Elizabeth. Even at this point, facing life in prison, Kathleen was still trying to control the situation. The obsession about her daughter was raging. What dynamics could have led Kathleen and her family to this dark place? This is just a theory, my opinion. Kathleen was self-centered, irresponsible, impulsive, sadistic, vindictive, obsessive, petty, grandiose, envious, possessive, cold, callous, arrogant, remorseless, aggressive, and had a massive sense of entitlement. Growing up, she never became independent from her parents. Kathleen was needy and unwilling to break free. Her parents only fueled this mentality as they vicariously lived through her. They desired to protect her and make her happy no matter what the cost, even to the point of having Kathleen live across the street from them in a house they owned. Kathleen would permit them to come over unannounced because that's what she wanted. The family was enmeshed. No one had their own individual identity. When Elizabeth was born, they saw an opportunity to add another member to the disturbing dynamic. They wanted complete control over Elizabeth and did not want to share her with anyone, including her father, Stephen. There was even this plan to run off to Florida and live together as a happy family. Because of the boundary-crossing behavior and the belief that they were functioning as one unit, it was easy for the family members to share grievances. Looking outward to find the source of their pain, they identified Stephen. They failed to look inward and recognize how they were actually causing the problem. Stephen became the enemy and was a threat to their one big happy family dynamic. Unable to navigate her desires through peaceful means, Kathleen ran to her father to take care of Stephen permanently. It doesn't appear as though Kathleen's mother, Leslie, had anything to do with Stephen's murder, but after Kathleen went to jail, the family's options were limited. When trying to convince her to hire a hitman, Kathleen told Leslie that she had to do her part. This further supports the theory that they viewed themselves as a team, and it showcases Kathleen's manipulative nature. She wasn't going to be happy until her entire family was in prison with her. Now moving to my final thoughts. When young couples get married, it's not unusual that they look to their parents for support. This type of help is fine, but it's important to maintain boundaries. Marriage depends on a transition into a new family dynamic. It demands a recognition of change. If spouses hold on to their parents instead of accepting that life moves on, they may find themselves in a nightmare worse than living in New Jersey.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.